A word of the Lord from James 5, 13 to 16. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call in the elders of the church, pray over them, and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And if the prayer offered in faith and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, the Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective.
I'd just like to have a prayer for Mason this morning as he delivers the word. Father, thank you for the word that we can live in it and be in your presence with it, and that Mason will deliver the message that we need today. We know we will listen and pay attention, and thank God for his faithfulness. Amen.
Thanks, Elsa. In 2013, my family and I went to a ski resort in Belmont, Michigan called Canonsburg. We got there and we were really excited. We haven't really done that very much, so we were really excited to go. And we went to the place where you rent equipment, and my brother and I decided to get snowboards. We never really have snowboarded, so we decided to try that. Well, for some reason, I'm not really sure why, we decided not to rent helmets. I mean, no, that doesn't sound like a very good idea. It was probably like $5. We decided not to rent helmets. We started out easy on some of the smaller hills, and then eventually we decided to ride the ski lift and go on to like one of the bigger hills at the top. And keep in mind, we did not have helmets on. So it was not a good idea. So once we started going down the hill on our snowboards, we quickly realized that there was absolutely no snow. It was literally all ice. So picture this. Two people who have never really snowboarded in their lives with no helmets on a steep hill with ice. I mean, what could go wrong? Nothing can go wrong there. And we had absolutely no idea what we were doing. Well, you can probably expect how it went. We were falling constantly. We were just falling, boom, 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 boom. We were falling all the time. We didn't know how to stop, really. We didn't know anything. We just kept falling. And this is probably the reason why I have to write my sermons down, because I hit my head so many times that I can't remember anything anymore. I'm just kidding. But after a while, at some point, my brother had hit his head really hard, and I'm pretty sure that he actually had blacked out at this time. Well, not long after this skiing trip, we went to Disney, and we were riding roller coasters. We were doing all this crazy stuff, riding roller coasters. And then after that, in the same trip, we went snorkeling. We were diving down way deep in the water, a lot of pressure. And that was putting a lot of pressure on my brother's head. We were doing all these activities, not knowing what was actually going on. When we came back, my brother went back to school in Bowling Green, just like he normally would. He went back to school. But at some point, he started having a lot of pain in his head, to the point where he actually had to go to the emergency room. They scanned his head and they could see that there was actually a bleed, and they sent him to St. V's Hospital in Toledo right away. When my mom heard the news, she said that she dropped to her knees and prayed, telling God not to take her son. So we rushed to Toledo, and Taylor was there in a bed. And three neurosurgeons talked to my mom, and they were amazed at how he was even talking. They said, based on his condition, that he should have either been in a coma or dead, and he was there talking. At this point, all we could do was trust in God and pray that he would heal Taylor. He was in the care of God, and we had faith that he would be fine, and by God's grace, the surgery went well, and after about 24 days in the hospital, he came home and was fine. Many times in our lives, we face situations where we must give our troubles, our worries to the Lord. We have to pray that God will intervene and fix the problem. Everything that we could have done, everything possible that we could have done has been done. And we know that the situation is in the Lord's hands. God is the only one who can fix it. In this series, Luke and I have been discussing why we do certain things. Luke talked about different sacraments, such as laying on of hands and communion, and how they make the invisible visible. For example, marriage represents the union between Christ and the church, and it makes that union visible. So today we ask the question, why anointing with oil? Why do we anoint with oil? I'm sure some of you have seen this, and you probably don't know why we do it. So today we're going to answer why we should anoint with oil. But to answer this question, I want to look in the book of James as Elsa read. So I'm going to read it once more. James 5, 13 through 16. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful. So the main point that I want to make today is that anointing with oil is a physical way that we can place someone into God's care. Anointing with oil is a physical way that we can place someone into God's care. So I want to answer three questions for you today. Why should we anoint with oil? How should we anoint with oil? And what are the benefits of anointing someone with oil? So number one, why should we anoint with oil? In every verse in James 5, 13 through 18, we're told to pray. Every single verse. So based on this, we can confidently say that this passage is primarily concerned about prayer. But four words in this passage seem to stick out. This sticks out to a lot of people. It says, anoint them with oil. And verse 14 says that in verse 14, James says that along with prayer, the elders are to anoint this person with oil. So this begs the question, why should we anoint people with oil? And this question has been much debated, believe me. I've read through many commentaries, and I still have trouble comprehending this. And my parents probably wouldn't be surprised if I came in today with pieces of my hair torn out because of how many different views there are on this. But there's a few different arguments that are usually said. Some argue that the oil is simply for medicinal use. In the ancient world, it was, you know, it was a very useful remedy. Some have argued that it is to stimulate the person's faith, to give spiritual comfort, a means of conveying healing, or is symbolic of consecration. And some have also argued that it symbolizes the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's healing power upon a sick person. While most of these have truth, I believe that anointing with oil is a way that we can place a sick person into God's care. And to understand this more clearly, we need to look at the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, anointing with oil often symbolized the consecration of objects or people for God's use and service. It symbolized the consecration, making them holy for God's use and service. This anointing often included priests, it included kings, prophets, and objects. So consecration, just so you know what it is when someone or something is cleansed from sin, they're made holy, and then dedicated to God for a specific purpose. For example, in Exodus 28, 41, God tells Moses to anoint and ordain Aaron and his sons to consecrate them, to make them holy so they may serve God as priests. The anointing purifies them so they can be used for God's service. So to summarize and make this clear, In the Old Testament, anointing with oil's primary purpose was to symbolize the Holy Spirit. The oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit being poured out upon this person, making them holy and dedicating them for God's use and service. The oil itself does not do this. It is God. In the New Testament, we don't hear about anointing with oil quite as much. In Matthew, we hear anointing with oil in the context of hygiene, like they could use it for their hair and stuff, for their face, for their skin. In Mark and James, we see anointing with oil in the context of healing. And in Luke, as you know, a woman anoints Jesus' feet with her hair with oil. But the primary passage most people refer to is in James. In James, anointing is a way of placing this sick person into God's care. Whether James means physical or spiritual healing has been debated, but I can see both sides that anointing with oil can be for both physical and spiritual care. However, one crucial thing that we must understand is that the oil does not have any power. Some people, I think that's where people get it wrong. It's like, it's not this special oil that has some superpower. Instead, the oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit, and we'll get into why this is meaningful. In James 5:15, we clearly see that it is not the oil that heals the person. It is the elders' prayers offered in faith, but ultimately it is God who heals. The Holy Spirit has the power to make someone holy and to heal them. The anointing of oil symbolizes, when you anoint someone with oil on their forehead, this symbolizes the pouring out of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, upon this person. I mean, the Holy Spirit is invisible. We can't see the Holy Spirit. But just like the other sacraments, this physical act that we do, anointing with oil, shows a spiritual reality that we have the Holy Spirit. That the whole it makes it so we can, in some way, visualize the presence of the Holy Spirit. But there's really, I'll really just make it simple for you. There's really two reasons why we should anoint with oil. Number one, because the Bible tells us to. And number two, because it gives us a tangible, like I said, a physical way to see the Holy Spirit's work and outpouring upon a person. And this can strengthen our faith because, you know, if we see things visually, that helps us to be able to grasp onto it and to realize what's actually happening. The physical act allows us to see the spiritual reality that we have the Holy Spirit in us and who helps us. When my brother was in the hospital, there was nothing that we could do, you know. We were to the last point. There was nothing else we could do. And we just had to place him in God's hands, but we could not physically see the Holy Spirit, you know, healing him and working with him. And this can be the same for any of you. When you are in a time of desperation, you can't physically see the Holy Spirit's presence pouring upon somebody. But anointing with oil gives us a physical, tangible way to be able to visualize this and to see this and to place them into God's care. And this leads to my second question. We saw what anointing with oil means and why we should do it, but now we ask, how is it supposed to be done? Am I supposed to use a milk jug? Am I supposed to have some sort of special oil from the hills of Jerusalem that's only made with the finest spices? No. Am I supposed to put it on somebody's pinky toe? I mean, how are we supposed to do this? James 5 says that the person who is sick should call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. According to one source, elders are spiritually mature men. They're leaders of the church who are above reproach. And these leaders are supposed to be called upon to anoint the sick with oil. But what are they anointing them with? Well, obviously, it's some type of oil. In the Old Testament, it was probably some sort of olive oil. But in the New Testament, we don't really see, that doesn't really say what type of oil is. It doesn't say we couldn't use WD-40. I mean, you could just shake a bottle of WD-40 up and spray it on their forehead, and that would work pretty good, I think. I mean, nowadays, we got all these oils. There's all these essentials oil. You got one oil that'll make it so your husband's not mad at you. You got one oil that'll make it so you feel better. You got one oil that'll make it so you have to go to the bathroom. You got all these different types of oils. But the point I'm trying to make is that I don't think the oil really matters. This is not the whole point of this thing. It's not the oil that heals, it's God who heals. So then you may ask, how do we do this? Well, typically it's poured on someone's head. Today, most of the time, it seems like they kind of rub it on their forehead. And this, I've actually seen this a few times. It's usually when someone's very sick. A lot of times, pastors will come and they'll anoint someone's forehead with oil. And I've talked to a few pastors who've actually done this. So this goes back to the idea. So I just kind of wanted you to be able to visualize how it looks. But this, we're going to go back to the idea that when we're anointing someone with oil, we're placing them into God's care. And I just want to visualize a situation. Just imagine one of your loved ones who's very sick. You know, they're very sick. Perhaps they can't get out of their bed. Calling for the elders, calling for this pastor, whoever it may be, because they are in desperate need of God's healing. The Christian leader is praying for this person. They anoint the person with oil. And the anointing symbolizes the Holy Spirit pouring itself out upon them. This is a very intimate situation. Most of the time, when the oil comes out, like, it's usually not good. Like, it's a very desperate situation. It's a time of desperation, you know, a time of fear. But also, it is an act of obedience and faith. We know that the only way this person will get through this, whatever it may be, this sickness, we know that the only way this person will get through this is through God's direct intervention. We know we can't fix it, but God can. And anointing them with oil is a physical way to say, okay, God, I know you have the power to fix this, and I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you that they will be healed, and I'm not going to worry anymore. I'm just going to trust you, Lord. This is a way of placing your loved one into God's care. So now that we know why we anoint with oil and how we do it, what are the benefits of obeying? This is probably what you're most interested in. You're like, why do we do this? Like, what is it? What are the benefits of doing this? Because in reality, we don't really have to anoint someone with oil. I mean, the Bible doesn't say that every time you're not feeling good, you have to get some oil. Say, oh, I had a bad day at work. Honey, go get the oil. No, that's not how it works. We technically don't have to do it. So what are the benefits? It reminds us of the grace that we have already received. We have received the Holy Spirit. It reminds us of that, how God gave us the Holy Spirit. As we have discussed with many other sacraments, practices like laying on the hands and anointing with oil make the invisible visible. We cannot see the Holy Spirit. We just can't. But when we physically anoint someone with oil on their forehead, it allows us to, in a way, be able to see the Holy Spirit pouring itself out upon someone and impacting this person. And every time we do this, it reminds us of what God has already done. He has given us the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God's Spirit inside of us. And every time we do this, it's a good reminder of that as well. Another reason that we should do anoint with oil is because it strengthens our faith. So when a sick person, like a really sick person, is calling for like a pastor or somebody, that's already a step of faith. They are seeking God's intervention. They want God to help them. They probably have gotten to a really desperate situation, and they are being set apart for God's care. And I think this physical act strengthens our faith because, as you know, actions speak a lot louder than words sometimes. Sometimes the words just don't hit as much, but our actions, our step of faith, is showing that we have faith, and that not only shows others that we have faith when we're doing that, but it also shows that it shows God our faith. But in reality, 99% of the time, most of us probably aren't carrying a little thing of oil in our pocket. We don't need it technically. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't live out our faith. Our lives should be the example of us having faith. In James, it talks about how our lives should show that we have faith. So ultimately, yes, oil is a way of proclaiming our faith in God, but also our lives in reality should show our faith. And lastly, if anything else, if you still don't understand this, if anything else, when someone is being anointed with oil, it can give them comfort. I mean, there's just something, there's something about physical touch, actually, like the laying on of hands. There's something about placing your hand on somebody, anointing them with oil, that has more of an impact on someone. And this is very powerful, because when someone's in that time of need, when they're in that time of desperation, they need something. They need help. And this can comfort them. So, in conclusion, anointing with oil is a way in which we can place someone into God's care. We cannot see the Holy Spirit pour it, like His presence upon someone. We can't see it. But this gives us a way to, in a way, see that. We rub the oil on the person's forehead and pray in faith that they will be healed. In my brother's case, it came to the point where the only thing left we could do was pray for him and trust in God. There was nothing else we can do. We had to trust that God would heal him and that he was in God's hands. And it was a miracle, as I said, that he was even talking. He probably shouldn't have even been awake. And all we could do was pray, because we literally couldn't do anything. And I know all of us have faced situations like this in our life. It's came to the point where it came to the last straw. We couldn't. There's nothing we can do. Maybe someone you love is sick, and there's just, you know, there's nothing you can do about this. Everybody has came to situations like this. And this is why the anointing of oil is so impactful. When we face a circumstance where someone's very sick or someone's really struggling, maybe they're falling away from the faith, anointing with oil gives us a physical way to place this person into God's hands. We pray in faith and anoint them with oil, trusting that the Holy Spirit will touch the person, the body of this person. And I, brothers and sisters, I think this is a good example for our lives. We need to make sure that we're putting our hope in God and not mere man. We need to be in complete dependence on God, because He is the one who sustains everything. We need to be dependent on God. And I think this is a really good example of us needing to rely on God, God's power. So I just encourage you that in times of your life, when we all come to this time, when there's just nothing you can do, like you don't know what to do anymore, there's just so much stuff going on, just cast your cares, cast your worries, cast your troubles, give them to the Lord, pray about everything. The Bible says, don't worry about anything, pray about everything. Give your worries to God and say, Lord, I trust you, and I believe that you'll fix this, and I believe that your will be done. So I just encourage you all, cast your cares. Whenever you're going through these times where it's really hard, give your worries to the Lord. Pray for others, and if needed, anoint others with oil. And then trust, in reality, just trust Him in all circumstances. So I talked to Luke. And if any of you would like to come up and have prayer, you're more than welcome to. Luke will have some anointing oil, and we can have some of the congregation can lay hands on you. So if any of you would like any prayer, you can come up if you would like.